Hey everyone, Terry Welbrock here. Just wanted to take a moment before today's episode to share some exciting announcements. I love to share all my exciting announcements and fun things that are going on in my life. So, a couple more narrated audiobooks have hit the shelves. You can check those out. If you go to my website, terrywelbrock.com, you can find different tabs on my website. So, there's speaking tab. So if I've spoken on summits or podcasts, and you can go listen to those if you want to know my insights on the world and life. And then there's a books tab. And so that will list my audiobooks and that I've narrated. And there's now seven that are completed, two more in the works. And so if you know of anyone who's written a book, or if you yourself has and looking for a narrator, please reach out to me. You can send me an email at info@terrywelbrock.com. info@terrywelbrock.com. Some of the other tabs on my website include the podcast, the Healers of Hilton Head series. There's a tab for that. And the, as I'm liking to call it, the financial health tab. So let's talk about some products that I can help you with. I have all kinds of fun stuff. From living benefits to mortgage protection to life insurance to college savings accounts for your kiddos, retirement accounts, a debt-free life program. Wow, I'm learning about that and it's one of my favorites. Absolutely amazing. So if you have credit cards, student loans, mortgage, all that fun stuff, we have an amazing, amazing, amazing product to talk about. So Scott's going to be joining me mid-episode to talk a little bit about that, Scott Summers. Here on Hilton Head Island. And so, yeah, you can learn a little bit more about each of those things. All right, now for today's very informational and educational interview. Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Place podcast. I'm your host, Terry Welbrock, and always smiling when I come on because I talk to my guests beforehand. And oh, Danielle, I totally forgot to ask how to say your last name.
Brisant.
Brisant. All right. All right. Well, today I have with me Danielle Brisant, and she is a speaker, writer, and leadership expert. She travels the country, captivating audiences with her dynamic presence and inspiring story. In 2012, Danielle suffered a traumatic brain injury in a near-fatal car accident. As difficult as the medical recovery was, the real recovery was learning how to thrive and not just survive. And man, have we talked about that. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Terry. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me today. And like you said so eloquently and beautifully, my story really begins where it almost ended. In the year 2012, I was involved in a near fatal car accident. I suffered a traumatic brain injury as a result of that accident. And before that even I could recover, there was a series of events. So I went into cardiac arrest right after the accident. So before they could put me in the ambulance, my guardian angel, my hero, who I just did a podcast interview with earlier this spring with a podcast host out of Florida, my guardian angel, Officer Sergeant Michelle Smothers Omar, she administered CPR to my unconscious body before I could even be put in the ambulance because I wasn't breathing. I had gotten into cardiac arrest and they restored oxygen. I started breathing on my own within a minute and about 30 seconds of me just going into shock and suffering some type of permanent organ damage or brain damage. So it was a series of miracles that day. So after they restored oxygen to my unconscious body, after they administered CPR and I was breathing again, then they put me in the ambulance and my long road to recovery began. It started at a series of hospitals, and then finally, I ended up where the place where I recovered the most, On With Life Brain Injury Recovery Center here, about 100 miles from where the accident was, one of the best recovery facilities for brain injury in the nation, and happened to be about 100 miles from where my accident was. And there I relearned how to walk and chew solid food. I had feeding tubes, and they had to pull those out, and I had to relearn everything. Retrace the steps of childhood is what I like to say in my bio. And it was painful. And as difficult and painful as that was, what was far more painful, far more difficult, was the emotional and the professional recovery. Like, I thought my life was over. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do now? I've done all this. My short-term memory after they released me from rehabilitation, it was still really bad. Luckily, the brain is an organ, just like any other. It's a muscle, just like any other muscle in the body. It gets stronger with exercise. So my short-term memory was terrible. I couldn't remember anything by lunchtime, but my parents made me do a series of mnemonics exercises, and I got back in the workforce, and gradually my memory began to recover to where I would say, because of everything, my memory is probably a little bit above average. Now, I remember things that most people forget. I'll remember them just because I did so many exercises and tricks. Like, my memory is probably above average now. Thank goodness, the brain is a muscle and it can get stronger with exercise. But that's where my story began. And now I'm open to hearing anything you want me to answer and
Oh,
the
yes.
journey I am now.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your truth. And I love it when folks and so many people that I have on the show and that are out there doing this healing work in the world have turned their pain into purpose. And so
Yes.
that you've taken what you've gone through, which was horrific, and but now you're shining this light of hope into the world, and just what a gift that is. You've written a book, correct?
Yes, ma'am. My book, Maximizing Your Potential: How to Start the True Journey Towards Happiness in Life, is available for sale on my website and on Amazon.com. And yeah, the book talks about my own recovery, and it talks about something I truly believe: happiness. Happiness is a journey. So when I wrote the book, I had just started the journey. Now I'm further along, but it's just a journey. I'm still going to continue to get further along in this journey as time goes on, but I'm on it and I'm on the path. And the key is finding that path and how I lay it out in my book. Happiness starts, it's a journey, and it starts with self-discovery. And then you achieve a goal. After you achieve a goal, you find your passion. Then you discover your dream and you chase that dream for the rest of your life. It's a beautiful, fulfilling chase that's filled with magic, and it will lead to happiness because you know that you're on the road. Because I have found my purpose in life, I wanted to share it with others because it starts with achieving a goal. And I had no idea. I thought my life was over after my car accident. And then one day I'm just researching, like, what am I going to do? Literally, hopelessly looking at Google, just thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And up came this just advertisement. I can't even remember what coaching program I was on, but it said, become a speaker, share your story, inspire others. And I stopped and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I think I survived this accident. I think that's what I'm meant to do because I've always liked talking. I've always like been outgoing, been a people person, but I was just trying to figure out things. And just this is about 2 months after I was released from rehabilitation. I saw that advertisement on Google and I'm like, that's what I'm going to do. And having made that decision from the decision-making process, from deciding to become a speaker and actually launching my website, that's about a 10-year journey. I had to, of course, still work and support myself and then write my book. And I wrote my book and I had to rewrite it because the manuscript got stolen. Life always throws you a cool curveball. After I rewrote it, then I didn't want to wait for a publishing contract. People don't really, that can be a long time coming. And if you're not a famous person, it's hard to get. So I'm like, I'm just going to self-publish. So I went on all these, I listened to podcasts actually. I went into a lot of coaching programs by wonderful people such as yourself and started listening to podcasts on how to become a writer and a speaker and how to self-publish. So I listened to these educational podcasts and then I taught myself how to edit and I purchased something that you need to have if you're going to self-publish and want to start this journey. Adobe Publisher. I signed my contract with Adobe Publisher, taught myself publisher, uploaded my book, did my own editing and finally self-published on CreateSpace, which is now it's a subsidiary of Amazon. So that's how their authors self-publish. So I created my CreateSpace account and just uploaded. And I remember I hit publish and I went live right before my 30th birthday. It was so exciting. But that journey from doing all that from start to finish took about 10 years, because after I self-published the book, because I wrote the book and published it because I wanted to become a speaker. And the best way to become a speaker, I had learned through listening to podcasts and following wise advice from others who had done it, is you need a book out there that helps. So I wrote the book. And then after I wrote and self-published, I launched my speaking website in 2020. And I did that on purpose because it was at the height, just the pandemic was just starting, and virtual speaking had just started to take off, and that excited me. Podcasting had just started to take off, and all this stuff excited me because I'm like, I can just set up a studio and not have to travel and go anywhere and do this. Yes, I'm in. So, because I was always holding back because I didn't want to, I'm not a travel bug. I like my community. I'm very active in the community. I'm very well known, and I like where I am. I don't want to have to live out a suitcase and always be in a different airport every day. That does not excite me. I do, as stuff has come back from the pandemic, I've had to start doing that now. I'm traveling. I've been in about four or five different airports in the last 6 months or so. So I'll do it. It's just not my goal to be doing that every single day. So that's why I launched my website and my speaking business in 2020, because of the growth of the virtual speaking opportunity.
Yes, well, you just spoke to my heart because one, I like living in my little, I call it my little bubble. I live on Hilton Head Island, and it's our little island community, our little low
Happy. And I hear
country.
yours looks adorable. Like you're cozy and happy just like I am. I'm like, I'm not trying to just escape anything. I like where I'm at.
Yes, for sure. And just as a little, like, I totally get what you were saying about the whole self-publishing. My daughter and I, when she was in fourth grade, she's a senior now, but we wrote a little children's book through
Oh.
KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing, which I
Yes,
think is
ma'am.
now CreateSpace. And so, yeah, so we went through that whole journey of illustrating and writing and editing and, self-publishing and getting it out there and doing library signings and bringing,
Yes.
it was about Sammy, our Labradoodle that I told you about. She was a therapy
Yes.
dog. And so just being out in the community with Sammy, with our little children's book, and teaching my daughter about the whole process. So yeah, it is quite a journey, but kudos to you for doing the work and doing the research and figuring it out. I mean, it's just such a great way to put our truths out there. And honestly, for those listening and you, I've talked to, like, I reached out to all of my previous podcast guests a few years ago. And about 46 of them came back that had published books with their input. And the majority of them said, self-publish if you can.
Yes,
Because same thing, like, unless you're a big sports star or a Hollywood star, the big name publishers, they're just not going to, you're just, chances are you're not going to get a contract with them. And so, I mean, there's other smaller publishers out there, obviously, and some of my guests have gone that route and it's been great for them. But self-publishing, there's so many benefits to it and so many perks, and you control it. I mean, you control its destiny.
yes, I love it. Beautifully spoken, Terry. Yes, so wise.
Thanks.
Such wise advice. Yes, self-publish. Because I did not, as most authors now, I think 99.9%, I did not write the book to make money. Very few people will write a book to make money. It just doesn't happen these days unless you're a part of a famous franchise like J.K. Rowling, or you're Prince Harry and you have a memoir that's gonna guaranteed to sell a million copies day one. So unless you're a prince or famous, yeah, you're probably not going to sell very many copies of your book to offset the cost to the publisher of paying you. So you don't write a book to make money. It's about getting your truth out there and establishing a platform. So as a speaker, when you reach out to, as I am doing now, audiences and conferences and event planners, and you can say, hey, here's my resume. It starts with the book and I put my story out there and I share my platform, and it just, you go from there. So it always helps to have written a book. It's a great way to get your truth out there so people can learn more about you, can get to know your experiences and identify with your experiences. So, but it's not to make money. As you well
Yeah.
know, you don't write a book to make money.
No, right. Absolutely. No, it was for sure, selling a couple little copies here and there. We started a little project that was called Sammy's Bundles of Hope, and we would drop off donation bags to homeless shelters that had children or safe houses, and we would just put a copy of our book in there. So it was more, again, just to, help kiddos out who maybe were struggling. And yeah, anyway, my little.
Wonderful. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Perry, just everything about you I'm learning today. I'm so glad we connected, because I'm just loving your story and just everything that you're doing. And just, we got to connect after
oh,
this.
for sure.
Okay.
Yes, I know. I
Yeah,
was just
if
sitting thinking to myself, oh my gosh, she's adorable. I love this person. So
yes, we
it's
have to
like,
exchange socials after this. Yes, I love it. I'm
yes, yes, for
new.
sure. So now you do travel and do speaking conferences. And so now is your mission to really talk to people about, hey, we've all been through stuff, right? We've all had our stories, but making that move, which I think a lot of people just stay in that survival mode, like I survived it. I'm doing okay. What's that shift like going from just survival to thriving?
Beautiful, beautiful question. Yes, that question is the heart of why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yes, I'm a speaker, I'm a writer, and I just travel the country now. I'm lucky enough to do that, and I get the chance to share my story. But as I've been sharing my story and traveling, I've just come across so many people who also have stories, and I just realized everyone has a story. Everyone has a trauma, has a pain, has something in their life. It doesn't matter how beautiful on the outside, how privileged you think somebody has it. Everybody has something in their life they have to overcome and struggle against. And that process of overcoming and conquering your own battle, climbing your own mountain, that will make you stronger. And if you learn the lessons that journey can teach you, it will put you on the path on becoming who you were always meant to be and doing what you were always meant to do. And that's what happened for me. And that's why I'm a speaker now. And that's why I share my story. I'm lucky enough to also be a thought leader. So I'm always on podcasts, always writing articles for our local papers and magazines, just preaching the same thing in different ways. And just, yes, everyone has something they need to overcome. And that pivot from just surviving to thriving is what makes the difference for true happiness. That is the process of becoming truly happy, making that pivot. Because I think most people they're just content with being satisfied. I start my book like that. I think the first chapter, I just lay it out. Just most people are just, okay, I'm not miserable. I don't really like my job. I don't really like my significant other. I don't really like anything, but I'm doing okay. I have a few extra dollars at the end of the week where I can buy some beer and watch some sports and then go back to being miserable for 8 days. And then, yeah, most people, they're content with just being okay. And after going through what I went through just to survive, I'm like, I'm not going to be content with just being okay. Cardiac arrest, traumatic brain injury, relearning how to walk, read, chew solid food, the process of having a feeding tube in you, I'm just going to just really quickly hear that's painful. They put a feeding tube, they your surgery to have a feeding tube. I was unconscious for the surgery to insert my feeding tube, but by the time they needed to take it out, I was conscious. And the only way to take it out is to pull it out. So two nurses had to hold me down, and the doctor
Oh my.
yanked the feeding tube out of my stomach. I was in so much pain. I started, they gave me a towel so I could scream into the towel, and the nurse held my hand. But the doc, it didn't come out right away. He had to yank and yank Like he tried two times, then he just did one violent yank and it came out. And then I was in so much pain, and I don't have children, so I don't know the pain of childbirth, but I think it was up there with that. I was about to pass out. I was in so much pain. And the nurse kept giving me tons of Tylenol. She said, like, it's okay now, we have it out. It's like the most painful thing probably I'll ever consciously experience was getting my feeding tube removed. So having gone through all of that just to live and have a life, because I almost lost it, I'm like, I'm not gonna settle for just being okay. I'm not gonna be content with just being satisfied. I'm gonna thrive. I'm going to share my story and I'm gonna be happy. That's why I wrote the book. I'm like, I discovered that happiness is a journey, and I was determined to get on that journey and to find it for myself because I had gone through too much just to be content.
Yes. Well, what I'm hearing is mindset. I mean, your mindset, you decided here is how I'm going to exist. Here is how I'm going to be, and stepping it up to this, and such a positive mindset too, of I'm not just going to wallow in as a victim of this circumstance. But yeah, take what's happened to me and I don't know, excel from it, I guess. Hi everyone, Terry Welbrock here. Just wanted to take a pause mid-episode to have a little conversation with Scott Summers here on Hilton Head Island, where I live. You know, I love to talk about healing resources, whether it's for emotional health, spiritual health, physical health, we've tapped upon it all, and financial health. So we are going to talk about some financial health products. All right, well, let's dive into some stuff. Let's talk about some specific products. And folks, you can keep tuning in to episodes and I'll put snippets out about the different products. So it'll one way for you to keep coming back and joining the show. Not that you don't already, but you can listen in mid-conversation, before conversation. I'll be putting these snippets of conversation out. Let's talk about final expense.
Yeah, it's funny, like I feel the same way. It's like, we get a chance to kind of like make sure that we're preventing those things. And, some of the products that we have these, great features like debt-free life, where you're able to, get people out of debt. But final expense is there, and for the inevitable, right? It's a permanent type of policy that you can have. And just to make sure that the family is not, saddled with any type of expenses. And it could be funeral costs. And people don't really factor in, like, when you're dealing with funeral cost, it's not just the actual funeral itself. It's actually your family taking time off work in the middle of the week, and leaving their job and, coming to take care of, and then getting the house prepped and ready, and boxing things up and all those things, in the wake of all the emotional toll that you're dealing with, families do, the families have to open up their checkbooks and they have to kind of like make arrangements and things of that nature. So,
Oh,
final expense.
I think of my mom when she passed this in March of 23, and she's in Ohio, I'm in South Carolina. I was continuing as she started to decline, hopping flights back and forth. Every time I was there, I rented a car. And then when she passed, it was the same sort of thing, like having to fly back, make arrangements, care for, and so those expenses continued, but then, like I didn't have her because I was using her. She kept saying, "Terry, use my checking account to pay for your flights." And but then when she had died, when she moved on, suddenly I was like, "Oh my gosh, I have to rent a car, and I have to pay for it, and I have to, do these flights." And there was just a lot there. And my mom, didn't have a whole lot of money, and she had a little $10,000 policy from an employer back in her banking days, which I don't know if I ever told you this. I'm just going to throw this out because it's fun. So she worked for a bank in Cincinnati, and she sold annuities, and she was the million-dollar sales lady. So she did the annuity sales, and I don't know how. I guess maybe back then you didn't have to have a, because I don't think she had a, like an investment sort of thing. But anyway, she did annuities for the bank and won awards for her sales. So I always thought that was so cool that she was doing annuity sales.
Yeah, well, your experience of kind of being on the front line of, having to deal with that, and you were fortunate enough to have worked with your mom to kind of set up maybe a power of attorney or being able to use her checking account. Sometimes things happen suddenly and you just don't have that time. And yeah, those are the exact same things that we tell our clients when, hey, that little $10,000 policy or $20,000 or $30,000 policy really makes a big difference. And
Yes.
I think all of us really just want to have that feeling like I did enough, right? You don't want to have that feeling like, yeah, gosh, have I really done enough? So I think that's where a little extra final expense sometimes makes a huge impact on the family.
Oh, definitely, most definitely. And you're right. I did have power of attorney, medical power of attorney, and power of attorney in place for her because she was 87 when she passed. And so, in her early 80s, again, when she was starting to decline, she said, "Terry, I really need to put this in place." So smart enough to know those things. And yeah, so right. Wonderful. Well, everyone, thanks for listening in to our little very informative, wonderful conversations with Scott Summers of the Summers Agency here on Hilton Head Island. And again, go to terrywellbrock.com. You can find out more information and click some tabs if there's anything specific you want to know about. And I will be in touch with you. And yeah, now back to the show. One of the things that you had talked about, I just came back from traveling. My 26-year-old nephew died last Monday. And so I had traveled
Oh,
back.
my condolences.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was heartbreaking because as I learned about his story, and he had just passed the firefighter's exam with flying colors, they had to do the physical in under
Aww.
3 minutes, and he did it in a minute and a half. And so, like, all of this really great stuff was happening in his life, and yet he died by suicide. And so,
My goodness.
and so we
Oh.
never know what people are struggling with. I mean, you and I talked about that for a moment before we hit record, and that everybody has a story, right? And so many times it's the ones that have on that mask of, I'm okay, I'm okay. But we don't know what really is happening behind that, I'm okay.
Yes. Oh
And
my goodness. Yes, thank you for sharing that. Oh, my condolences. It's so horrible. I had a friend. That same thing happened, from a very prominent family locally, affluent family. Seemed like he had everything going for him. Going to a pretty elite school, had a fiance, was about to get married. His family was well off on the outside. This guy looked like he had everything going on, probably would have made other people jealous. Drove a nice car, everything is 20, 22 or 23. Just looked like he had everything made for him. His life was all perfect on the outside. And I want to say about 5 or 6 years ago, I got the notification because I'm friends with his parents that. And luckily, it just came to me, and just on Facebook, I just scroll down and I get an invite, and it's like, attend a celebration of life. I'm like, what? He had committed suicide, and I could not believe it. I guess this handsome young man had a fiance, had a career from a prominent, affluent family. It seemed like he had everything going for him, and he could have no worries or troubles. He committed suicide. He had those demons. And you just never know what people are going through. And we all are going through something. Nobody has a perfect life. Perfect does not exist for a human being. Nothing is perfect. And that's why, beginning, that's why I wanted to share my story. But I'm still on a journey. I'm still getting better. Like, I'm still learning as I grow. And what you just said, and what we're talking about, Mal, just popped into my head. The importance of something I just learned. This is like last 2, 3 years. So this is a recent discovery for me and an education process. Something I just learned from a mentor. I'm still friends with him and his wife today. Wonderful, wonderful mentor. He's kind of an indirect supervisor of where I work for my day job. I'm in sales and I do this, so I have a flexible day job and I speak and I travel and I write. So the day job has a flexibility that allows me to do that. And one of the he's higher up now. He's no longer my direct supervisor, but he what once was my direct, and now he's so high up in the company, he's no longer my direct, but we're still friends. He's still I have regular contact with him, and I just he was instrumental in my educational and growth process. And that is something I just recently discovered, and that is emotional intelligence. And the importance of that and what we're talking about speaks to the importance of emotional intelligence. Because you never know what somebody's going through, and you never know somebody's story. So, indirectly, you could just, I used to do this, just I didn't even know, like me, like with all this, who should understand. Just indirectly, just by not being careful and cognizant of just everything, your words, your actions, your body language, everything that you put out into the universe, you could indirectly trigger something that you don't know is in another person. So you have to be cognizant of that because we're all going through something. This is why just almost life demands kindness. You have to be aware of what you could be triggering in another person and what they could be going through. So you have to be kind and you have to be respectful. And that is emotional intelligence. And that is something I just learned in the past 2, 3 years of my professional life. Luckily, I had a mentor who just took me under his wing. And he's like, Danielle, like, you're an amazing person. You have so much energy. I love your story. I love what you're doing. But here's one area where you need to work. And that was emotional intelligence. And I just, it was revolutionary to me just learning that. And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even know. I didn't really have it. Like, wow, I didn't even know what it was. Because my mother's a New Yorker. And as we all know, New Yorker, like bluntness, like that, not really known for their emotional intelligence. So I grew up with that, where, yeah, being blunt, shooting from the hip, straight shooter, like that was an admirable quality. Just something to be admired, just being a straight shooter and speaking your mind and standing up for yourself. But it is a good quality in some cases to have, but not all the time.
Yes.
You cannot do that in life because, but in the process of doing that, you could be triggering something in somebody that you don't know is there. So you have to be very careful.
Oh, I love it. I'm so glad you brought it up. We haven't talked about emotional intelligence a
Yes.
lot on this show, so thank you for bringing that
Yes.
up. I know for me, I've learned to try to give warnings if I'm going to be shooting from the hip, because if I'm angry about something or whatever it may be, I mean, I will say to people, particularly customer service people on the phone, listen, I'm going to give you a heads up. I'm super irritated right now, and I'm just going to set this free. So they know it's not a direct attack on them, but I'm setting it free.
Yes. Yeah, that's a guy. I'm gonna steal that. That's good. Because
Yeah.
once again, that customer service person who's irritating you and maybe you think is dumb over the phone, you don't know what they're going through. They could have just lost their mother. They could be just struggling against something, an addiction or thoughts of suicide. Like, so you don't ever want to be that person that just sends somebody over the edge. So in all of your interactions and conversations with people you may not ever see again, you just have to be aware of the effect you're having on them because you don't know what they're going through.
Oh gosh, and I'm so glad you're bringing this up. Such a great
Yes.
conversation because
And it interrelates to what we're doing.
and I know for me, as I learned and as I healed and as I traveled along the healing journey, I started to realize that, well, again, you have brought up about everyone going through something. Everyone's traveling their own healing journey. And so what I learned was, as I was sitting behind someone at a red light and the light turned green and they didn't immediately go, In the past, I would have been like, oh, laying on that horn.
Yes.
Now I will wait a second and maybe give a little like friendly beep beep and wave, like, green light, go.
You see, you're so much wiser than I am. I'm just gonna steal the everything you're telling me right now. I'm stealing it. Yes, the warning and the friendly beep beep, because I may still lay on the horn if I gotta go. Like, I'm busy. I may like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I discovered, here's why I switched to that particular, like being a little more patient, was my mom had was in hospice, and so I had traveled back to Ohio to be with her through her end of life transition, and I was very distracted, like staring out in space, zoning out, and then I'd realize, oh shoot, the light is green, and then go. And so what I would start to tell myself as I encountered people, if people were like out of it or somewhere else, it was like, oh, how do I not know that they're not having, someone that they
Exactly.
know is
Exactly.
in the hospital. They haven't slept for 24 hours because they've been sitting bedside with someone or whatever may be going on in their life. And so it just helped me, I guess someone had told me once, like, take a pause. And I love
Oh,
that, just taking a pause. So
yes, I love it.
yeah.
Yes. Oh, this is just so wonderful, this discussion we're having today. Oh, I cannot wait to hear it. I want to listen to this.
I know. I'll be smiling as I edit, so.
Yes. Do you know when this will be up and live and ready for your viewers?
Yes, it's I'm about 8 weeks out. I'm actually booked out 40 weeks, which is
Yeah,
crazy.
oh, I know,
Also,
because we this was booked for me in back in June. And I
oh
had
my
this on my
gosh.
calendar. Oh, I had that coming up. And I almost forgot about it. Like the story when we were talking. So yeah, oh, I do know you're very busy. Successful
Oh,
woman, and congratulations to your success.
thanks. I know,
How
here
does
we
this
are mid-November, and it probably will come out, I'd say probably mid-January.
Oh, mid-January. I was thinking you're telling me summer.
Oh
Summer
gosh,
season.
no,
No.
it'll be, I think, about 8 weeks out on the recorded
Okay.
one.
And
So
then it probably, I cannot wait because I want to listen to this. This has been wonderful. And
yes. Well, I certainly want to give you an opportunity to talk about anything that we haven't touched upon yet that you feel moved to do.
well, we just kind of came full circle. This is why I will never, ever ask for the questions when I'm a frequent guest on podcasts, like I said, but I never want the questions up front. I just always want to just have a conversation and just share because you never know where a conversation can take you. And our conversation today has been so beautiful because as you said something, I thought of something. And as I said something, you thought of something. And then it just kind of led us to this beautiful place. And we talked about emotional intelligence, which is, I think, probably something every adult needs to learn. And now that I discovered what it is and what it was and have learned it myself, I now see it everywhere. I interview on CNN. I just saw one of the wealthiest, I can't remember the name. It was somebody not in this country. I think he was European or Asian, but one of the wealthiest men on earth. They asked him, what is the number one thing that determines success? And he said, emotional intelligence, not IQ, not venture capital, not anything. Emotional intelligence. He said that is the number one determinant of success in life. And I can't believe it. I almost like dropped whatever it is I was holding in my hand. I'm like, oh my God, that is so true. And it's so true and so beautiful that people are now recognizing it. And I know just don't want to get into politics, but I think it's sometimes causing a friction. And I think everybody says, and I used to be one of those people that people nowadays are just too sensitive and people are too woke and it does get silly. But as I think emotionally intelligently about it, about everything, I just think it all comes back to you just never know what could be a trigger. And you never want to be that trigger for somebody else's trauma. So you have to be aware of everything you say, you do, you put out, and the world has to be like that. The world has to be aware of everything it says and does. And I think we see the friction and the battle because some people just don't know what it is yet. Like 3 years ago, I had no idea what emotional intelligence was. I had to learn it from my mentor at work, in a place I never thought I would learn it, just professionally. And I'm like, oh, because he sat me down and said, this is where you're lacking. You're wonderful in all these areas. I love Danielle, but I can see right now this is what you need to learn. And I'm like, oh, I have something to learn. Like, I was just stunned. He's like, yeah, emotional intelligence. And I'm like,
Wow.
oh. And then I had to discover what it was. And it has, I would say, learning that has made me more successful in every single other area of my life. So I'm no longer working directly with this guy. Like I said, professionally, I'm in sales. And that's where I first learned this. That's where I first learned this, emotional intelligence. But having learned it made me more successful, far more successful in my writing, in my speaking, and everything. It made me like probably 10 times as more successful in other areas of my life that I had no idea it would affect. Because it wasn't just that job. I'm in a different position at that corporation anyway. I'm in sales and I no longer work directly with this mentor. He's still my mentor and we see each other occasionally. He's no longer my direct supervisor. So it
Yeah.
had the area where I first learned this, I'm no longer working in, but it has changed everything in my life. It has helped my relationship with my boyfriend because we used to have like the petty little issues and I had to think about our fights and stuff and look back to it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Instead of getting mad at him, I'm like, he just needs to learn emotional intelligence too. And I have to be emotionally intelligent as I learn it with him because I had no idea what it was. When we first met, we just celebrated our 6 year anniversary in October. So we're going on 7 years. When we first met, none of us, the both of us, had no idea what emotional intelligence was. So I learned it first. And then I had to try to gently, because you know how men are, you don't just tell them something. I had to gently try to teach it to him, and he's learning it, and he has learned it. And our interactions with one another are so much more respectful. And we don't have those petty arguments we used to have. Like, I'll just give myself 5 seconds, like you said, like I just like I can't respond right now. I won't look at my phone because I know that I'm just too hot and heavy and I'll say something that I'm going to regret later. And so we no longer have those petty arguments and fights. So every area of my life, emotional intelligence has made better and it has made me more successful. And yes, what that wealthiest person on earth said is true. It probably is the number one determinant to your success in life.
Oh, and I love the word you said was respect, and that's what it is. It's just respecting where everyone is along their journey, and just taking again that moment to say, oh, where's this coming from? Like if someone's being super irritable with you, it's not about you. It's about respecting where they are on their journey. So I'm again just beautifully stated. Thank you for sharing your
Yes,
insights on
respect.
that.
You have to risk, and once again, you have to respect other people because you don't want to trigger somebody else's trauma. You could
Right.
inadvertently do that. And I used to be that person just by shooting from the hip and getting something off your chest. You could lead somebody to jump off a bridge, and you don't want to do that. You
Right.
don't know. So you just have to always be cognizant and aware of what you're putting out into the universe.
Yes, I love it. So how do folks connect with you? Where do they find your book?
DanielleBrazant.com. So www, my name, DanielleBrazant.com, DanielleBrazant.com. And I assume you'll have a link and everything
Yes.
underneath your episode when this airs. And I cannot wait. I want to listen to this. Like, this has been a wonderful, beautiful discussion this morning.
Oh, for sure. I'm super excited to put it out in the universe. And yes, everybody, I'll put links in show notes and all the social posts that go out. So, and I'll be sure to do a separate post for Danielle's book. So you can then just click on that and pop on over to Amazon and find it there as well. So, yay. All right.
Yay.
Well, gosh, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I know I've certainly learned a lot, and it's just been such a gift to have you here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us today on the Healing Place podcast. And remember, until next time, be gentle with yourself. Thanks.
Oh.
Hey, everybody, Terri Welbrock here. Just wanted to thank you again for being a part of this healing space. and my hashtag Hope for Healing Journey. Thank you for sharing, liking, inviting others to join, listening in. You've really helped this show blossom. It has now been downloaded in 136 countries and is in the top 2% globally out of 3.2 million shows, which is just amazing. And it's all because of you and your tuning in and inviting others and sharing and liking and loving. And your reviews on Apple really help too. My goal is to hit 100 five-star reviews by the end of the year. And I am closing in on that. So if you are listening in on Apple or Apple Podcasts, please go and rate the show and leave a review if you absolutely love it. And I would be most appreciative. Also, if you would like to receive my monthly Hope for Healing newsletter, please be sure to go to terriwellbrock.com. It's T-E-R-I, just one R, W-E-L-L-B-R-O-C-K .com. And I have a gift to send you for signing up for that monthly Hope for Healing newsletter. Plus, there are many other resources listed on that page, including a resource library. All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.